Okay, so we are starting the second of the six Tehillim that precede Lecha Dodi and Kavalat Shabbat. So last week, obviously, we did the first, now we're doing the second. And some of the themes we're going to be addressing are going to be somewhat familiar to you. And in fact, we're going to start right away with a theme that I hope is familiar to you. Before we do that, you'll notice that the very first line, which is what I also titled the page, is Shiru LaHashem Shir Chadash. Right? Sing Hashem a new song. And you notice it says Shir Chadash. Now, in Tehillim, the expression Shir Chadash appears six times. Okay? Now, anybody remember besides Tehillim, and it's not Tanakh, there's your giveaway, another very, very famous place where we use the expression Shir Chadash? And I'll even give you a bigger hint. You wouldn't remember it from the first night. You'd remember it from the
second
night.
Pesach.
Because most women don't remember that much from the first night of Pesach. So,
we don't remember the second one either, we're drunk.
Okay. So, what I'd like you to do, this is not time for true confessions, what I'd like you to do is turn to this page, right, which is the back of what you've got, and see where it says, Seder Rav Amram Gaon, okay, Seder Pesach. Okay, so I've quoted Rav Amram Gaon many, many, many times. Early 9th century work. It's the very first collection of tefillot that we have, really from any source whatsoever. So this is a Babylonian, okay? And this is the bracha that we say immediately before we start Shulchan Arech, before we wash and hamotzi and everything like that. And you already see, because I made it big and bold, right, that here we have that expression of Shir Chadash. Okay? So, let's just look at the last part of it. V'nochal sham min ha-psachim, we should be zocha to be in the Beit HaMikdash, and eat from the Korban Pesach, min ha-zvachim, and that would be the Korban Chagiga. Right, and you're all familiar with the Pesach plate, right? What represents what? Shigia et damam alkir mizbechecha l'ratzon, and that we should be able to sprinkle the blood of these korbanot on the wall of your mizbeach according to your desire. All part of, regardless of your feelings about korbanot, this is all part of the process. Okay, now look what it says. V'nodelecha shir chadash, and we will sing a new song, al geulatenu, on our redemption, v'al pedut nafshenu, and on the redemption of our souls, brachat Hashem, ga'al Yisrael, blessed are you Hashem, he who redeems the Jewish people. So from this text, which is of course a rabbinic text, what is shir chadash by definition connected to? What would you say?
Geula.
Okay? In fancy terminology, the messianic times.
Are they talking literally a new song that no one has heard before? That when Mashiach comes, we will all know the song without it?
Oh, no. It's metaphoric.
Yeah, okay.
It's metaphoric. Will there be new songs? Yes. You know, at that point, will the world be buying billions of copies of Adele 25? Probably not. Okay, but there will be new songs for a simple reason. Everyone will recognize the presence of God. Everyone. Okay, and it'll be the cessation of Avodah Zarah, and so on and so forth. Okay, so we now know incontrovertibly that Shir Chadash has to do with Geula. So let's go back to tonight's Tehillim. What do we have? Shiru LaHashem, Shir Chadash. So beyond any doubt, the theme that David HaMelech is beginning to create for us is that of the Geula, right, which fits beautifully with one of our conceptions of Shabbat, where even in one of the Zemirot, what do we sing? What do we sing in one of the Zemirot about this period, about Shabbat? We talk about the Me'ein Olam Haba, and of course the Geula, right? Whatever it will exactly be, will be Me'ein Olam Haba. It will be different in kind and degree in many ways than what we have now. But I don't want to go too far afield. We have discussed what the Geula will be like, what the Messianic times will be like. And as you know, I primarily follow the Rambam, right? That the primary difference between our time and the time of the Messianic period will be that we will no longer be under the hegemony, under the control of any government or any power. Okay? Now, that's all I'm going to say, since this will be publicly available to the world. But use your imagination. Okay? Now, what's interesting is, while we have Shir Chadash, we don't have any instance of Tanakh, in Tanakh, of Shira Chadasha.
What's the difference? Is that masculine
and
feminine?
It just doesn't exist. And not only, I'm just building. Not only that, we don't have the word Shira appear in Tanakh by itself at all. What do we have? Ha-Shira. Okay? Go to the back of that page. And what's the most famous case of Ha-Shira? So go above the Seder of Amram Gaon and look what it says. Az Yashir Moshe Avnei Yisrael et Ha-Shira. Okay, Hazot LaHashem. Now, if you all remember, we did this inside out, upside down.
Is it the same thing by Miriam also?
Yes.
Miriam took the womb?
Yes. It says Shira. Hashira. Hashira. So the idea here is this, is that when we use the expression Shir, and specifically Shir Chadash, in contrast to Hashira, Hashira is temporary for a particular time. Shir Chadash is going to be Le'olam Ve'ed. And that's, I think, a very important idea to focus upon when you're doing this particular Tehillah from the Tehillim. It's very important to focus on this when you get to this point in Kabbalat Shabbat. Okay, so far so good? So, Shiru LaHashem, we're rejoicing. You know, in a sense, in a very real sense, it's a love song from Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which fits, of course, beautifully with the theme of Shir HaShirim. So we're going to sing this song, to use an expression from Rav Soloveitchik, the idea of God and man's relationship being such that man is God intoxicated. Right? He's God intoxicated. So Shiru LaHashem, Shir Chadash, this wonderful song that's eventually going to take place representing the Messianic period. Shiru LaHashem, sing to Hashem, Kol Haaretz, the entire world. So the entire universe. So Rav Soloveitchik said, and many others said, among the Hasidim and the Litvish, everybody who was sensitive to this always pointed out that in nature one will find Hashem's signature writ large. So, for example, the Baal Shem Tov spent several years before he revealed himself to the world as the Hasidic master that he was, in the forest, and communing, if you will, with nature. It was one of the ways that he was able to get in touch with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, it's a very powerful message, I think, for all of us. So, Shiru LaHashem, this is the next pasuk. Shiru LaHashem, okay, and for those of you who have a pen with you, you can put a comma. That's one idea again. just like we had in the beginning. So now, instead of Shir LaHashem, Shir Chadash, it's simply Shir LaHashem. Again, overwhelmed, right? So remember some of the good times, right? When you weren't completely, absolutely, overwhelmingly stressed. There must have been at least one day like that when your babies were really young. Okay? When they actually were willing to go to sleep. And you picked them up, and they didn't have colic. And you picked them up, and you held them in your arms, and you just didn't know what to say. You didn't know what to do. Your heart was overwhelmed with what? Complete, total love. Right? Shiru LaHashem. That's what. Because what do you need to say it right away again for? We just said it. The answer is that saying it once, saying it twice, it's just never enough. So, Baruch Hu Shemo. So, bless and grant recognition to who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, again, from our perspective, because since we're finite, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, we're definitionally limited on what we can actually know of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are even those theologians within Torah world who would say you can't know anything about God, right? Like the Rambam himself says this, you can only know what God's actions are. You can never know what God's essence is. Okay, but however you want to look at it, nonetheless, in our own finite, minuscule way, Baruch Hu Shemo, right? You should bless his name, Basru, and announce, right? Like Besoro Tovot Yeshuot V'Nechamot, should announce Miyom L'Yom Yeshuato, each and every day, right? That salvation is imminent. His salvation is coming. Say of the Chafetz Chaim Zatzal that he had a suitcase packed. He was waiting every day. Whether it's an anecdote or it's an apocryphal statement, either way, most of us have heard that over the years. Okay? Because why? Yom L'Yom Yeshuato. Okay? Now, the next thing is for the entire world. So you may say that Aleph and Bet refer to the elected community, which is us. Right? If you look on the page I gave you from the Rav, he uses that exact phrase there. We're not actually going to do it now, but if you look just before my handwriting, that last line, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry, Rav Soloveitchik refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's elected community, namely us, the Jews. Okay? So you could say Aleph and Bet were perhaps focused on us, the elected community. Gimel, okay? Gimel, however, is universal. Okay? It's almost, right? It's almost, again, a little bit of themes that we're familiar with from what part of davening that we do three times a day? Aleinu. Universal, particular, and so forth. So, Safra v'goyim kvodo. So, retell, right? And Sapru is the same word as l'saper, b'yetziat Mitzrayim, right? So, Sapru, tell the story, v'goyim, to the nations. Safra v'goyim kvodo. So, the tell of his glory, his greatness, his kavod to the nations. And b'chol ha'amim, and amongst all the peoples, Niflotav, his wonders and his miracles. This certainly, right, has got to be the Messianic time, because it's no secret to any of us that we have been historically a, like we say in the Netana Tokef, we have been that call the Mamadaka. We've been that small voice. We've been the minority of the minority, right? Sharing with the world our vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what, you know, right and truth happened to be. But in the Messianic time, we're going to all become teachers, all of us. Safru v'goyim kvodo, b'chol ha'amim niflotav. Okay? Now, it's not so difficult. It's not so difficult. You know, some of you remember, for example, when the Tshuva movement was very, very powerful at the in the 70s. And you would sometimes ask, how can it be so powerful? And the people involved with Kirov would always respond, we have such an easy product to sell. It's not so difficult. And that's what we're going to be telling the non-Jewish world in the Messianic time. Ki gadol Hashem. Hashem is great. Umahulal ma'od. And he's praised, right? Melech mahulal v'tishpachot, right? Familiar. Mahulal. He is praised. Nora. Okay, Nora is that he's awesome. Okay? And, you know, when the teenagers use that word over and over and over again, awesome! I believe, honestly, it's a derivative going all the way back to that which is ultimately awesome, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he's Norahu, I'll call Elohim. He's over any kind of power whatsoever. Now, Elohim here could refer to the Malachim. It doesn't have to, it's not talking necessarily about false gods. We're going to see that later on in one of the psukim, okay? But not right here. So this could be talking about the Malachi Ashare, that he's over everyone. Ki kol. Now here, actually it's the next verse. Now when we're talking here, now we're talking about the false gods. Ki kol Elohei ha'amim. Because all of the gods of the nations that have been worshipped in Avodah Zarah, Elilim, they're false. They're false. Now, by the way, that those religions that are derivative of Judaism are monotheistic. Those are not the religions that we're referring to here. We're talking about out-and-out Avodah Zarah, idol worship. Okay. Now, by the way, when you say this pasuk, and we say it every day in Shacharit, right? Always remember, it's crucial. In Pesukei Zimra, when you say it, you've got to stop and leave a space. You read it like this. Kikol, even if you read it fast, Kikol Elohei Ha'amim Elilim V'Hashem Shemayim Asah. You got to go 1-2. Okay? Because otherwise, you have what is called elision, right? You may remember that if you took one of the Romance languages, okay, as a second language, okay, because they all have it, whether it's French or whether it's Spanish and so forth. So what you have an elision from Elilim to Vahashem. And you don't want to say, Kikol Elohim Elilim Vahashem Shemayim Asah, because that means Hashem's included. You don't want to do that. So you want to say, Ki Kol Elohei Ha'amim Elilim V'Hashem Shemayim Asah. Okay? Very important idea. So far, so good, everyone? Too fast or just right? Okay, just right. Okay. Now, next. Hod, right? V'Hadar. Now, Hod is a very interesting word. It's very similar to Hodu. Right? As in Hodu Hashem. So this is the idea of recognize the beauty. Vahadar, okay? Some of you have known women in your lives whose name is Hadar, right? Hadar is majesty. So recognize the beauty and the majesty, Lefanav, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so again, here I would be careful, I'd make a comma, so you recognize that everything is not running together. Oz, his power, as in the most famous pasuk of what? Hashem Oz Liamo Yitain. Okay? The Tiferet and glory, right? Because what's the root of the word Tiferet? Pe'er, right? Pe'er means what? Beauty. Okay? So, Oz V'Tiferet, power and glory. And in case you wonder where that phrase came from in English, right? Because yeah, you know, you'll see in a movie or something, unto him is the power and the glory. Well, right here. Hod v'hadar lefanav. Right? It's like, also you'll hear people say, like, who shall ascend the mountain of the Lord? Right? It's straight to Helam. Right? Obviously. So the same thing here. Oz v'tifer b'migdasho, that power and glory is in his sanctuaries, in his mikdash. So mikdash, I don't know, sanctuary to me, it's Latin, it comes from the word sancta. It doesn't have the same idea as mikdash, as this holy place. Okay, unless, of course, you're a Latin speaker, which there aren't any today. So,
friend's a Latin teacher.
But does she walk around speaking real Latin?
You can.
I bet she could, but nobody else would. Not anymore. Okay. So, next. Havu Lashem. By the way, if you notice, Lashem, over and over again in this particular Tehillah. Havu Lashem Kavod Shemo. So, this is, Havu is like, very much like, the famous Jewish folk song of Hava Nagila, right? Come and let us rejoice. So, Havu Lashem, right? Let us come together. Okay, I know over here in the translation it says a scribe. Okay, I don't know how Havu becomes a scribe. I really don't. I really just don't understand. But it certainly. To paraphrase Dickens, it's not the best of translations, it's not the worst of translations. Okay? So, Havu LaHashem, it means really come, let us gather together and recognize Kavod Shemo, the holiness, the greatness of his name. And remember, over and over again, whenever we have Shemo, it's always referring to Hashem's essence, that which we can never fully appreciate, because again, it's that classic finite infinite. Okay,
this but reminds me of what we say when we put away the Torah.
Say one more time.
When we put away the Torah. Yeah.
Exactly, and we don't think about it. We're just too busy singing, right? But if you know what you're singing, then the melody can transport you. Because it's enabling you to have even greater comprehension, because when you sing or when you hear music, it's using a different part of your brain than just the cognitive. It's using a motive, it's using a variety of other things, different kinds of neurological responses. So if you understand it cognitively and you're singing it, it's very powerful. Okay.
Off topic.
Go ahead.
Off topic, though. When you're davening at home,
yes.
Do you say that by yourself, or do you only say that with a minion?
Say what?
What you say?
When you're putting away the Sefer Torah? No, you wouldn't say it.
You don't take out the Sefer Torah, so we can't.
No, I know, but I just wasn't.
No, you wouldn't say it.
We used to say it in camp, so I was just wondering why.
They're training you.
Right, they want you to learn, and they want you to be at a shir one day where you'd ask. It must be that there's always a reason. Okay, so all right, so let's see what we were. Okay, yeah, so se'u mincha, so bring a korban mincha, bring an offering. Now it's interesting that David HaMelech chooses mincha, because almost everybody could afford a mincha. A mincha was a flour and oil offering that was basically made into a pancake, right? And everyone could afford that. Not everyone, of course, could afford an animal or even a bird, but everyone could afford a mincha. And what you see here is, again, David going toward the universal. It's not a race to the bottom, chas v'shalom, but it's actually a recognition of the democratic nature of Judaism, that everybody has a role that they can legitimately play. So, se'u mincha, bring the korban mincha. Uva'u l'chatzar otav, and come to Hashem's courtyard, which is, of course, the courtyard of what? The Beit HaMikdash. Okay? All right. So far, so good? Any other questions? Topic or not? All right. Let's go. Hishtachavu LaHashem B'Hadrat Kodesh. So, Hishtachavu really means to... Okay, it's not even what you see, because most women don't do this, but if you remember on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, some of the men, right, fall Korim. Okay? That is not Ishtachaveh. It is not. Ishtachaveh was in the Beit HaMikdash, people would go completely face to the ground. Right? And like their hands would be stretched out and they'd be completely, you know.
Prostrate.
Yeah, but it's, so it's total. It's total. So, but you only do that in one place and one place only. Beit HaMikdash. So, Hishtachavu LaHashem B'Hadr Kodesh, because in the, you should prostrate yourself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in recognition of His Holy Majesty. Okay, so again, this is the second time of the use of the word Hadar. Now, this is such a fascinating pasuk for us, because Baruch Hashem, we were zochah to go through Netana Tokef together. Okay? Do you remember from Netana Tokef? Who is described in Netana Tokef as trembling before HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
Malachim.
Malachim. So, and what do we do in Yom Kippur? All of us, male, female, we emulate the Malachim. So, what word is used for trembling? Chilu. Right? Chilu. So, chilu, mipanav, really means that you, again, I wouldn't say quake. It means really to tremble. It means to shake with this awe-inspired recognition of I am in Hashem's house, so to speak. You know, when I was at Mount Vernon in Virginia, in Alexandria, I was somewhat overwhelmed that I was walking in the same place where George Washington had walked. For real. For real, for real. That was overwhelming. So, lahavdil af havdalot. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that you are in Beit Hashem, the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's overwhelming. So, of course, chilu, right? Mipanav. It's sort of like, and I'm sorry to say that I don't care who the guy is, we never get it. How do women cry when they're happy? We don't get that. Okay? It's just not part of our build. Okay? We just, and any, you know, any
so
honest guy.
Father cries at his daughter's wedding, they're sad, they're not happy?
No, that's a, that maybe is like, move, maybe. Like, you're over, you know, it's, but often you'll see women cry when they're happy, and you'll say, what's wrong? I'm so happy, right? And like to guys, it's hard to you know to necessarily understand. Right? But what do you have here? Look, guys, you're overwhelmed. You're so joyous that you're also at simultaneously chilul mepanav. You're going to tremble before him. So this is talk about the realm of contradictory emotions. Right? I remember the first time I saw the Kotel. And I started to cry. The first time I saw the Kotel. 70s. And the first time I touched it, oh my goodness. I just was overwhelmed. So that's really a wall that was built not to have anything to do with davening whatsoever. What was it built for? It was built so that the mound that the temple was on shouldn't fall down. So it reminds me of, you know, there's this famous Shiloh, someone once asked Rav Soloveitchik. He said, you know, Rebbe, we're having a very artistically done ketubah, and, you know, we want to know which wall of the house would it be proper to put our ketubah up. So the Rav said, let me ask you something. Are you going to buy a house one day? And they have, sure, Rebbe, God willing, you know, God will help us. He goes, you going to put your mortgage on the wall? I said, no. So why are you going to put this document, which is just like your mortgage, right? It's a payoff scheme, just in case things don't work out and you owe your wife. You really want to put that up on the wall? Rebbe, don't worry, I'm not putting it up. Okay? So it's sort of contradictory kinds of emotions and feelings. All right. So anyway, we're back to that universal idea again. It's not just those of us who actually are in Hadrat Kodesh, but in this messianic time, everything is going to sense be in sync. The whole world will be in sync. And chilu mipanav kol haaretz, the entire universe. Right? Hashem haaretz umeloa, right? As we learn together. So, amar v'goyim, and again, universal. Right? Let it be said, or say, okay? Imru, apologize. Imru v'goyim, say with the goyim, Hashem malach. Right? That Hashem malach, of course, is the past. Right? Hashem has reigned. So, in a sense, really, while you were not quite there, because you really don't want to say to someone, you know, you're a loser, you're a miserable person, blah, blah, blah. So you don't want to do that. So you in a sense, don't want to make a person feel bad because they're not going to hear your message, right? So what do you say instead? Don't worry, Hashem Malach, he was always there whether or not you recognized him. Afti kan tevel, right? And also, the world, tevel is a word that we see a lot on the Yomim Narayim. It means the universe of mankind, okay? All peoples. So, afti kan tevel, and all peoples, right, will finally be set, okay? Yes, dare I say the word, with real peace. And to make a play on a famous line that did not happen, that will be peace for real in that time. Okay? Now, Baal Timot Yadin Amim, okay, that it won't falter. You're not going to have a situation, for example, take the Soviet Union, right? So they went from the czars to a new form of authoritarianism called, right, Lenin and Marxism and communism. Okay, now then they went back in the 80s. What did they go back to with, was it Borda something? What was his name?
Gorbachev.
Yeah, Gorbachev. Right, they went to some sort of, again, attempting to do democracy. And now, under Putin, it's, for all intents and purposes, not a democracy anymore. He's basically the ruler for life. So it's never going to be that way in the messianic time. Instead, what's it going to be? It's going to be, truly, it's going to be Baltimot Yadin Amim B'mei Sharim, that what's going to happen with the world is that there's no longer to be authoritarianism. There's no longer to be a lack of democracy. There's no longer to be a world... I don't know if you know, this is a true figure. This is not a Jewish exaggeration. In our world today, there are 750,000 human slaves. For real. As you might suspect, mostly women and children. But for real. Okay, that's not going to be. Right? It's not going to be that way. It's not going to ever be that way once Mashiach is here. Okay.
There's the concept of Jewish slaves.
Yeah, but not the way we're talking about with, you know, for obvious reasons I don't want to be too explicit, but the concept of slavery within the Jews is not a mistreatment of people in any way. Okay.
Will we have Jewish slaves when Mashiach comes?
I don't know if that's going to return. All the Rambam says is that Korbanot and all... the Rambam says in broad terms, all the halachot will once again be in effect. Does that mean that there will be slavery the way it once was in biblical times? I can't answer that. Okay, it's above my pay grade. But there will be Korbanot and there will be the Beit HaMikdash, all the good... That stuff I know. That's going to happen. But whether that will happen, I don't know. Okay? I just don't know. Okay, so at any rate, what are we going to have? Yadin Amim B'mei Sharim. That he'll judge everyone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge everybody. Mei Sharim. Now, Mei Sharim, equity, so it's a little too fancy a word, I think. What's a better word that we all would really think of?
Fairness.
Righteousness. Yeah, sure. Right? You know, I mean, nobody says, do you have Mesharim in your house? Right? Equity. That's a different use of the word. But Mesharim, in a sense of being Yashar, everyone's going to be treated correctly. Okay? Now,
equally,
right. That's what it really means. Everyone will be treated equally, and that's very important. Rich, poor. Can I once heard an altar rav say, you really think that you'll be able to take your Cadillac with you at Maya Vesrin? That's not going on. That's not the questions you're going to be asked. Like, Rahman al-Islam, why did you have a Cadillac instead of, you know, only a Ford? That's not going to be the questions you're going to be asked at Maya Vesrin. Okay, so everyone's going to be treated equally. So Yismachu is a very famous pasuk. Everyone knows this pasuk. Yismachu Hashemayim v'dagel aretz yiram hayam umalol. Okay, so this now, these final psukim beginning with Yud Aleph through Yud Gimel starts a very important theme. And whereas before it was Shiru, and we were the ones being the Meshorim, being the singers. Now, what do we have? We have the entire universe, all right? And nature, everyone's joining in this sort of gigantic sing-along, okay? And I think it's Mahler, the composer. He has something called the planets, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was Mahler. And he wrote a whole symphony about the movement of the planets. So in this case, it's going to be the symphony of the planets for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and of every being that exists. Okay, so Yismachu HaShemayim V'Dagel HaAretz, that the heavens should rejoice and the earth should have, let's say like Gila Rinach, right? Ditsa V'Chedva and all of that. So it should, in a sense, Tagel is almost like what you see a young, ever see a young lamb hop around? It's just so happy to be alive. Tagel Haaretz. Right? Or you're young, remember when your kids were really young? And boy or girl, okay, boy or girl, they would just like, they'd be so happy they didn't know what to do and they would just run around in circles. Right? Tagel Haaretz. Yiram Hayam. Okay? So the sea, right? The sea and Umaloa and everything that's in it is going to roar. So I've said this before, if you've been Zochet to see the Pacific Ocean, not down by Malibu where it can be a little bit quiet and Baja and that sort of area, but if you see it up by the Monterey Peninsula with the pounding surf, right, all of that energy, and seemingly endless energy, that should be at the service of Hashem. With that, let's take a very quick look at this page from the Rav Sitter. Okay, now this Rav Sitter is called, obviously, as you see on the top, Korin Masorat HaRav Sitter, and the main editor is Arnold Lustiger, who has done just an amazing service for the Torah world and in publicizing Rav Soloveitchik's works. Over and over and over again, he's at the center of all good things, referring to Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. So here's what the Rav says. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Now, the Rav has a very interesting idea here in terms of what Lishpot Haaretz means. He says Hashem's judgment is normally associated with fear, right? Which is, of course, Yom HaDin, Rosh Hashanah, as is described, for example, in something that we all know and love, the Netanya Tokef prayer, okay, during the days of awe, where even the angels are portrayed as being in terror of judgment. Remember, we used the word before, Chilu. Why, right, Chilu. Why then is judgment here accompanied with happiness? Okay? Now, I'm willing to tell you something that's pretty interesting. I think the Rav here is actually being Mechadesh Davar. Because the way the Rav is going to translate the word Lishpot, he's going to say the next line, it means to create a fellowship and communion. Okay, and then he mentions about Devora. V'yalu eleha b'nei Yisrael l'mishpat. Okay? There isn't a single translation that I found of that Pasuk that refers to it as referring to creating a fellowship of communion. So I'm willing to suggest, I'm willing to go down a line on this and suggest that this is really Rav Soloveitchik's probably close to unique interpretation of this pasuk. It's a very powerful idea. So he says, why then is judgment here accompanied with happiness? The answer lies in understanding the multiple meanings of the word lishpot. While it does indeed mean to judge, it can also mean to create fellowship and communion. And then again, as he quotes this Devorah pasuk, okay? Hear the phrase, ki va lishpot aretz, for he is coming to judge the earth. Now, is better understood to mean that God is coming from his transcendental abode, which means on high, to commune and communicate with this world. That I understand. Okay? And that's what it means. That's why we're happy. That's why we're rejoicing. Because what's happening really on the existential level, we're encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone understand? That's what the Rav is really saying. He will come close to creation and establish contact. He will involve himself in the destiny of man in general. And by the way, doesn't that fit perfectly with our Tehillah? That's what we've been talking about. And specifically in the destiny of his elected community. And that refers to us. There is nor... Now, this of said in many, many, many different contexts, this next line. There is no experience more exalted and sublime than to feel the touch of the infinite upon one's shoulder. So, I know in other contexts, the Rav writes that when he learns Torah, even when he learns by himself, because he had many chavruses, including people like Rav, his sons-in-laws, like Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rav Yitzchak Torsi, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, they were his sons-in-laws, okay, and he learned with them. But he says, even when I learn by myself, he says, and particularly when I learned by myself, I would sometimes feel when I had a breakthrough, I would feel a touch on my shoulder, and I'd quickly look, and I knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had been there. So the phrase that he's using here is really congruent with so many other times that he uses it. Okay? All right, let's continue and try to just finish it up so that Marvin will be a happy camper. Okay? So, Ya'alos. Now, those of you who've known or either a child, grandchild, or a friend named Aliza. Okay? So, Ya'alos Sadai V'chol Asher Bo. Right? Let the field and everything in there be happy, okay, and joyous. Okay? And as you know, call out, say, Ayar. And then at that point, all the forests and the trees, they're all going to sing together. It's going to be one gigantic, if you will, I don't normally use this word, it's going to be a cacophonous explosion of recognition of awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, I mean, in some ways, I can't wait. It's going to be just amazing. So, Livnei Hashem Kiva, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has finally arrived. Of course, it's a metaphor. The Messianic period has come. Kiva Lishpot Aretz, and this is what the Rav was saying, he's come to judge the world. So it can't mean what it means just on the face of the term. He's come to communicate with the world. Yishpot Tevel B'tzedek, he's going to judge all of creation, all of mankind in righteousness. Ve'amin Be'amunato. And the people, all people, right? Race, creed, color, doesn't matter. All people will be judged, right? In faithfulness, okay? And with Hashem's emunah. So it's very interesting. We have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Apparently, based on what Dovin HaMelech is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has emunah in us. Not emunah in the sense that he believes in us, in the sense of the way we believe in him, but he has emunah in us in terms of our potential. The man is great. Man is a little lower than the angels, and that if we try very hard, we can emulate the Malachi Asharit and rise to the highest possible level okay, that we can as human beings. Okay. Thank you very much. And next week we'll continue.